Podcasting 2.0 for June 4th, 2021, episode 40, Miami or Bust. That's right. It's Friday when you're listening to this. It's one of those rare shows where everything is all out of whack. We are from the future, bringing you the past about what's happening tomorrow. All right, I know it's confusing. It's time for the board meeting, the weekly board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org and podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas. And in Alabama, the man you call for all your gooey possum cleanup, my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Trying to figure out what, did I read Alex Gates' blog post tomorrow? Or
yes.
Did I read it yesterday?
It depends. For Australia, they've already read it. So,
yeah, it went out before he even wrote it.
Exactly. Yes. So this is on the eve of Thursday. We are taping this. A day and a half early.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to Miami
to the Bitcoin conference.
Yeah. Wait. Actually, stop. Stop. Something very important.
No.
A historic. Yes. Historic moment of conversion has happened. And this just came in on the transom from Chad Farrow. I had to cancel my recurring PayPal donation because I've been sending you guys too many sats with Podfriend. Keep up the great work and go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
This is an important moment.
I have two thoughts about this.
Okay.
Thought number one. This is awesome. Thought number two, Chad, there's no such thing as too many sats.
I love this. Is and Chad, I want you to wear this title. This is something for you. You are the first official conversion, and you converted yourself from the cuck bucks of PayPal into the lovely value for value streaming Satoshis. And not only are we benefiting, in this case, Podfriend, since you are doing it from Podfriend, the Podcast Index, and of course, the Podcast Index 2.0, but we're taking that away from PayPal. So you know, the 3% that PayPal takes is gone, and you're actually giving us more, but it's appropriate to the value when you are receiving the value from the show. The whole thing just blows my mind. You're the first one to do it. To convert completely.
So I was talking to Dan Benjamin today. I talked to him for like an hour.
Oh, cool.
I reached out to him about Podping, and then he's like, "Hey, let's just catch up. Let's have a phone call." So we talked for a while, and we went off track, and he was looking for something, a piece of equipment, and I was like, "Oh, I've got one of those." And he's like, "Oh, cool. Can like send it to me. I need it. You got it. And so ship it to me and I'll like pay you and all stuff." No, it's not a big deal. Don't pay me. Just pay for shipping or something. And, so then I was like, wait. I got an idea. I'll send it to you and then I'm going to pay you. You're going to pay me on Strike and we're going to get you into the Lightning ecosystem.
Nice.
And then we're going to get you value enable a podcast. We're going to onboard Dan. All right. Here.
Dan's going to be the first to be completely onboarded. He'll do everything front to back, he'll even host your wallets. I'm sure of it. If anyone will do it, Dan will. Yeah. He's like Mikey.
He is. It's so funny talking to him because he's like, "All right, explain this Podping thing to me." And I was like, "Okay." So I give him like a 45-second thumbnail sketch of it or whatever, a couple of minutes long, and he's like, "Yeah, okay, cool, let's do it."
Did he say anything about did the thing with Cuban get resolved? Not that I ever expect that to launch from Cuban, by the way.
I did not ask. I did not ask because I didn't want to crap on his day. He was having a good day.
You notice how all that Clubhouse and everything kind of died down?
It completely imploded.
It was like everyone was so jitty about it. Oh, Clubhouse. Oh, I'm going to integrate my podcast with Clubhouse.
Yeah. That disappeared.
It's the same thing when, who was it that posted about, "Oh, there's a new podcast
XML format that will be better than RSS. Oh, yeah, Cridlin posted that. It's like, wow. Yeah,
what was that?
I mean, it's so well-intended, but yeah, I mean, even with good intentions, that just makes no sense. Just look around.
Even if you have all the, like, cred in the world, like somebody, what's his name? I'm losing his name now. The guy that did Jason Feed.
For the Brave guy.
No, not Brave. The guy that did Net Newswire.
Yeah.
It is buddies with Weiner.
Yeah, I know. I feel horrible about this. Yes. Go ahead.
I can't remember his name. They created JSON Feed a couple of years ago, and like even they couldn't get over the hump. So I mean, the rest of everybody needs to just stop and do something more productive.
They didn't close that up, did they? They're still around, aren't they?
No, they're still around. Yeah, they're still around. Yeah, NetNewsWire is going on, and JSON Feed's fine. But I mean, like trying to upend RSS is just stop. Just stop. It's not going to work.
Why can I not remember his name? This is bugging the heck out of me.
It starts with a B, right? Is it a...
No, I want to say it's... Oh, God. And I know people are yelling at their app right now.
He worked for Omni. Let's see. I'm just going to look up NetNewsWire.
Is it Dan? Is it Dan something? I'm sorry. We really should almost...
You're thinking of Dan McTuff is what you're thinking of.
We almost should. Ranchero Software. Yeah. I'm getting closer. Brent Simmons. There you go.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Woo! All right.
Wow. Go podcasting!
Penny drops. Nice.
Listen to old guys try to remember somebody's name.
This is really bad.
Riveting podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're ragging on other people's podcasts.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm seeing a lot of a pattern, though, which is quite nice. I'm seeing more and more podcasters reaching out to me saying, hey, what exactly is going on with Apple? And, you know, we're so clued into it. We're so married to the whole environment and ecosystem that, you know, we knew, we smelled everything immediately, but this is kind of seeping into podcaster land, and people are very tired of their listeners saying, hey, you know, it's not on Apple Podcasts, or what's even worse, you forgot to upload it to Apple, man. Which, believe me, as a podcaster, you just get really, it's really frustrating when someone says that. Like, it's not me. It's not my fault. Hosting companies, of course, are still getting help desk calls about that. But I'm even getting interview requests now. What's the latest one? Three blind guys chatting, I think. Which is,
I saw that email.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, me too. I'm all in. Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
Of course. Well, I said in July because you know, we're the move and everything. And it's just, I mean, there's just so much happening.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, you know, they noticed it and they're like, oh, hold on a second, this podcast index thing. And so I'm seeing people start to hear about it. And hopefully a lot more people will be talking about it, you know, when we, when the Three Musketeers show their presence at Bitcoin 2021, straight from the Podcasting 2.0 Airbnb. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Dan today. He's like, I asked him if he was going to do any like podcast conferences or anything now that they're kind of starting that stuff back up. And he was like, oh, I don't know. What are y'all, you know, are y'all doing anything and that kind of thing? And I was like, well, we're going to the Bitcoin conference in Miami this weekend. He was like, oh, that's, oh, okay.
I know. And, Mo was also jealous. He's like, crap, I wish I could go.
Oh, like, did he want to go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. I've been pushing him so hard. I said, hey, man, we're always talking about, you know, getting a piece of it. Here's the opportunity. Read the book. Black America and Bitcoin. This is very interesting.
Yeah.
He's all into it. You know, he's got, you know, 18
kids. Is he a maximalist yet?
No. Well, Mo has seen so many different great investment things that by the time here's his rule of thumb. It says, when I hear my barber talking about it, and you know, the importance of a black barber shop, you know, that's really the news network. So the minute I hear it there, I'm like, all right, a whole bunch of people are going to get screwed. because it's usually around the time when they pull the rug out. So he's been very wary of that. But I said, hey, look, I'll just show you what I'm doing and you can do it or not. And he has, you know, all the MoFax sats that we get stay in there. We're just building that up. And I think he just hasn't had the time to really, he hasn't quite had that aha moment, which at least I think I've had, when you really realize that, oh man, what a difference this will really make and how frightening it will be for the established order and what a fight we're in. And it could be, you know, it could last 6 months. It could last 60 years. I don't know. I don't know which one.
This is going to feel off the wall, but I'm going to throw it out there. So have you seen the, I think it's called the Moore Act? It's the marijuana thing.
No, I don't think so.
Let me look this up. It got approved in the House.
Mm-hmm.
I think it passed the House. Let's see, Moore Act.
Moore Act of 2020, Reinvestment Expungement Act.
Yeah.
It decriminalizes marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and expunges all the you know, criminal records for people who were a victim of the drug war.
Mm.
Yeah, and so the language goes pretty far. The language is, it goes beyond just saying, okay, here's what's going to happen. It also makes a lot of statements about the failure of the drug war and how much it's messed up people's lives and that kind of thing.
Hmm. Yeah. And
so I started thinking, you know, here we've had a drug war that has ruined people's lives for going on, what, 70 years?
Sure.
Is that fair or longer?
75? Why don't we just go back to the war on drugs, which was Nancy Reagan. Was that not Nancy Reagan?
Yeah, that was the Reagan. That's right.
Yeah. So let's just take it from there.
Okay, so I'm thinking all the way back to like hemp.
Yes, a lot of the same people for similar reasons. Hemp was the Hearst Corporation mainly, didn't mm-hmm. want that cheap paper stock. They just invested in all kinds of forestry in South America. And of course, you could use it for fuel. Also, very annoying. Very annoying. Yes.
And so you have the hemp banning, and then you have the whole Reefer Madness era. I guess that was in the 60s, right? Or is that the 50s?
That was the 50s. Yeah, that was really early 50s. On, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so you've had this marijuana war for, let's just say, minimum.
I'm sorry, Reefer Madness was 1936.
36?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So let's just say 80 years, roughly, of marijuana demonization, and then all of a sudden you have this switch over the last decade, really, where states are beginning to loosen up and states are decriminalizing marijuana. And now I think there's like 17 states that have decriminalized, and then you have thirty something states who now have some form of marijuana. Medical marijuana bill. Even Alabama,
mm-hmm.
my state, Alabama, has a medical marijuana bill now.
Right.
I mean, I thought I was going to hit the floor with, I was aghast. And so I'm thinking about all this, reading this act and reading the government saying how wrong their own actions were in light of what they thought at any given time over this 80-year drug war. And I'm thinking, okay, how can we trust any of their predictions at all? Just look at Bitcoin or currency. Look at the wins. Okay, so now, I see a thing like this. This is the way my mind works. I see a thing that says, oh my God, we messed up. We screwed up millions of people's lives over an 80-year period, and we're sorry we made a mistake. And then I see somebody like Janet Yellen come out and say, hey, don't worry about that inflation. It's only temporary. And I'm like, oh my God, how in God's name is anybody supposed to trust you after this epic epic screw up and failure and shafting of the American people for 80 years. And then like you're like, okay, don't worry about that. Trust us. We know what's going to happen in the economy 6 months from now. Please believe us.
Well, I'd like to address those in reverse order. What you see with Bitcoin with the so-called wild swings, and sure, 10-15%, that's lurching. That's a free market. That's a market that has no circuit breakers, it has no temporary halts, no 15-minute trading halt. It trades 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anything that's happening in the world can be reflected in that price. Whereas everything regulated by Janet, by the Fed, by the SEC, or decided by the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, is all controlled. I mean, it's and to some degree, you need that for public equity markets. You know, people have to have some kind of for long term investors and Joe with the paycheck. But really, and I haven't read that bill, the U.S. dollar in particular, it's all about drug money. Everything is about drugs. The whole banking system is all about drugs. The average United States citizen spends more on drugs than on oil products, on gasoline.
And you're talking about illicit and
at this point, I'm talking about both. Yeah, because the two are inseparable. You know, that's the Sackler family helped bring Oxy in. But heroin has been a thing for as long as I've been alive. It's just, you know, and look at the military-industrial complex. Again, it's financing wars. And where does it come from? Afghanistan through Pakistan and ultimately through Mexico. It's all about drugs. The whole economy. I'm convinced that during the so-called Great Recession of 2008-2009, that if we hadn't had the drug economy, we really would have had a problem.
That we were saved.
Yes. By the drug economy. Yes. And and all the banks are in on it. They're all money laundering worldwide. And here is this very annoying Bitcoin thing. Oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to use our money. It's our money for the drugs, not this thing. No. That's the big problem. And then, of course, if everyone really starts to get on board, and if one central bank says, you know what, we're going to mine Bitcoin, it'll be a black hole. It's just going to suck everybody in. No one. It's all about trust, right? It's just an illusion. And I would be very sad because it doesn't mean the United States is going to get any better from it. But it is the petrodollar is the problem.
That brings up a thing that Dan was talking about today. He said, the only thing that bothers me about Bitcoin is just the energy consumption. And so,
you set him straight, I hope.
Yeah, I guess I did. I mean, I guess I did my best. But what I told him was, you know, the misunderstanding here is that Bitcoin can operate at any hash power.
Yep.
The full network of Bitcoin and the way the protocol works can work. If you just go back, rewind the clock to.
You were mining. Go back 6 years.
Yeah, 6, 7, 8 years, and you could mine on a single crappy video card or even your CPU, and you could do fine.
And it still worked.
And it still worked fine. Worked perfectly. So let's just say that that governments around the world say, okay, we cap Bitcoin at X number of megawatts. Per, you know, whatever day,
mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. It'll operate just like it would normally. That's not the lowering the hash power and the energy usage does not change. It'll take, what is it, like 2 weeks or 10 days or something like that for the difficulty rate to drop to compensate. And then everybody's back running at the same level.
Also, mining in particular is actually usually quite green, if you want to call it that. China using hydropower increasingly. And in Texas, we have a boom going on here. Great American Mining Company, I think that's Marty Bent. They're packing up miners in shipping containers, moving it to the gas field, converting the methane gas that's normally flared off into energy, which is completely on demand, up or down. And then we have except when it freezes. We have phenomenal wind power in Texas, and actually we have too much. And when you have too much power coming out of, you know, you can't just shove it into the grid, so you need to either start shutting down windmills, or wouldn't it be cool to have a load? Yes, you can have a constant load from mining. So there's, it's, but it, yeah.
How much does one of those things put out, one of those big ones?
I have no idea. But what you're seeing now is Elon Musk and what's the Sayer? What's his name? The hedge fund guy.
No, the MicroStrategies dude.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Saylor.
So they're trying to do we'll mark these bitcoins if they've been done with coal and F off. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far off the topic other than that. What is, and this is the reason we're, and by the time you're hearing this, we're in Miami. The reason we're here is because we are the use case for Lightning that is making everyone pay attention. Mm-hmm. This is a real world value exchange. And as far as I can tell, you know, especially with the micro payments, it's unique of its kind. And so this shows people what can actually be done. And we have success. We have continuous payments flowing 24 hours a day. And conversions, like Chad.
We're proselytizing.
Yes. Yeah. We got handsome t-shirts to wear, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The t-shirts came in, Eric got them, so we'll be getting those figured out for shipping out and stuff too. But I want to hear the thing that you never explained last time, your theory on the Bitcoin crash.
It was I learned that this was a classic Wyckoff distribution strategy. And
spell how do you spell it?
Wyckoff, I believe, Wyckoff. There's a wiki page for it. And I didn't see this by myself, but I used to day trade. And so I do know a lot about the patterns. I was a technical day trader, not so much on long-term patterns, but I certainly understand them and comprehend what's going on. But what happened with Bitcoin was a perfect overlay of this strategy, which I think was created in the 1920s. This guy, I think it was Paul Wyckoff. He said,
Richard Wyckoff. Wyckoff,
close. Paul, Dick, Harry. says
Chip.
He said, if you can manipulate the market enough, the price, which you can do that with high frequency trading these days. If you can manipulate the price and you do it in this pattern where you give people optimum confidence and a drop down, I mean, you overlay that with the Bitcoin quote unquote crash. I mean, it's almost perfect with Elon Musk being the tipping point with the twofer, as called for in the model. The first one is, SNL, Dogecoin is a scam. That started to hurt. And then the next one was, no Tesla, not going to take your Bitcoin. And then he doubled down with, it's not green enough, too much energy consumption. And that basically ended the whole strategy with people completely short. So and they could make money on the way up and on the way down, and it's a well-known strategy, and if you overlay those two charts, it's almost identical. So this was Wall Street who came in and they left their calling card. Hey kids, we're here and we're for real. So in a way I'm kind of delighted because this was something completely different from previous dips, I think.
Oh, okay. So this says the accumulation phase, the distribution phase, the correction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So they go, yeah. If you can track this, you make your money on the way up and then you flip and you make your money all the way down.
Yep. And make no mistake, there's something still going on with GameStop. You know,
That's weird too.
Of course it's a real war. Now the hedge fund guys are screwing each other. This isn't just GameStop kids. No, this is something new going on here. Now they're eating each other, and someone's hurting really bad. I mean,
the Reddit guy showed them the new way to do it, and they were like, "Oh, we'll just stick that in our tool belt here."
Right. Oh yeah. So
that's
AMC, GameStop, both up like 30, 20 points. Had halts, trading halts.
Yeah, there was some kind of internet stock that somebody sent me today, and a buddy of mine, he was like, "Have you heard of this stock? It's up like 300% today."
Yeah,
I'm like, oh,
hey,
God,
you should get in now. Get in now. Yeah. Now's the time to go. Anyway, it'll be interesting. There's a number of people are presenting on our behalf. Actually, Ryan Gentry will be doing a bid on us, and I think. Gary from Graham from Voltage, and I'm sure Paul will be there from Sphinx, and it's going to be quite cool.
I feel like a poser because I don't know anything about the way the Bitcoin Core software itself works. I know what the protocol looks like, but I don't know. I've never done any kind of hacking around on any of the Bitcoin Core protocols or Lightning
Dave,
Core.
You don't understand, bro. You're a rock star. Like, that's Dave Jones from Podcasting 2.0.
Oh, give me a break.
He's cute.
Look at that t-shirt.
Oh, hold on a second.
Here's your cue to boost.
That's right, everybody.
You know you want to.
I have to say, your boosting is making me blush.
I've got, speaking of finding use cases for things, I want to address some Podping misconceptions.
Okie dokie.
Via Podcast Insider with Mike Dell.
Ooh, we got clips. I'm liking this.
I got five clips.
Oh, my goodness, Dave. You are developer, husband, father, podcaster. Ladies and gentlemen, what can this man not do?
Rodent removal specialist.
possum goo cleaner.
Only like two of those things you listed are things I actually want to do with my life. I've got five clips here from the Podcast Insider show where Mike Dell was talking to Angelo, who's the CIO over at Blueberry. They're talking about Podping, and they have completely misunderstood it. I'm glad because it helps to see these things be misunderstood and give an opportunity to correct them and then go through these piece by piece. And I'll say up front, I'm not offended or hold anything against them in any way because, I think these are just natural misunderstandings.
Do I still get to make jokes and laugh about it, whatever they're saying?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. the way, this is fantastic. I love this. Real time. You know what? Back in the day, what I've seen between developers and how things are understood, it would be pissy posts. Completely missed the whole point. And people get in, like, may not email form or email list, Gmail list. And this is so beautiful where it's like, no. They actually explain what they thought. We could all hear it straight from their mouths. And now we can help them come closer to what we think it is.
Yeah. And we can show the light. Okay. So Podping 1.
So something that might help solve that is things like the next thing we're going to talk about, Podping. It's similar to WebSub and the old ping service that Apple used to run. And it's another initiative of the Podcast Index people. And it looks like it has some potential to help in certain cases. But as you and I were talking about before the show, it also seems like unless the big guys pick it up, how useful is it going to be? And, how much effort do we want to put into it?
Okay. I just want to say the podcast index people, please in future, just refer to us as the pod people. Okay. Just take it all the way home. It's going to happen anyway. So the pod people. Yes.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So when he says the big players, does he mean Apple or Spotify? Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
Fill in the blank. Okay. I think so. That's my first issue with this is I want to say, Mike, you are the big guys. We are the big guys. The independent podcast industry is the big guys. Your mistake is looking at it as if you are the squishy middle and you're surrounded by the big monstrous guys like Apple, Spotify, Google, all these other guys. That's not true. The independent podcast industry drives the entire ecosystem and the whole show. So what we do, all of us, is how these things happen and move forward. We need to stop waiting on to make technological developments until these mythical big guys, elephants, get on board with things. That's just that is the type of thinking that gives away your strength and gives away your power. So that's more of just a philosophical thing. I heard that and I'm like, no, I don't want to wait on any quote unquote big guy to do anything. I mean, like, why would we ever wait on them? Cause they're not going to do it anyway. So who cares?
Well done, sir.
It's a big boardroom today.
And the boardroom goes crazy. You're so right. And we also drive features.
Mm-hmm.
We drive innovation. And it's always been that way. Well, except for the 10 years that I was doing something else. the 10 years
until that you came back.
The 10 years that Dave and I were studying this crap with all kinds of failed ideas. But you're absolutely right. We drive it. And even more so today. And it's working. This campaign of, hey, why don't you, hey, listeners, why don't you try the new app? It'll still work. Go to newpodcastapps.com. You know, now whenever I can, I'd like to tweet. I try to do a round robin. It's like if I'm going to tweet something out for an episode, I'll do. You know, now that Breeze has share links at the episode level, I think now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll do that, or sometimes a Podverse clip. I just try to use something from everybody's, you know, whatever app I have handy from their strength, you know, and just because then when someone clicks on it, they get an experience, you know, it's like, oh, hold on a second. Like Podverse has web and app. It's very interesting. But even Podfriend, CurioCaster, you know, you get a link like that. It's like, oh shit, what is this? I have an app now all of a sudden. It's just running.
Yeah. I love getting a good clip out of Podverse and then you can just shoot it around all over.
It's so wherever. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's where I got all these clips from. Okay. So that's the philosophical thing. But the technical stuff, PodPing 2.
Yeah. It says, you know, when you think about it, there was already a ping protocol that dates back to like 2001, 2003 that was used for writing pages and letting other sites know. I'm trying to remember what that service was called.
Track back.
And it's still around. And actually, if you use our PowerPress plugin, you can go into tools and you can click a button and it adds those ping services to your PowerPress site. And they don't require you to have an account or password. It's pretty privacy geared, way ahead of its time when you think about it.
Oh, so he's kind of thinking you do this at an individual level and not from the host level?
Yeah. So the whole when you listen to these clips, you understand that they're misunderstanding the nature of PodPing, of what it is. They're thinking it, apparently, and I reached out to Mike to see if I could clear up some of this stuff, but I hadn't heard back from him. But they're evidently thinking that this is just sort of like a track back or a ping back. One-to-one, like a WordPress type deal.
As opposed to an open, accessible, and writable blockchain format that anyone can ping their pod to.
Yeah, and the other thing they compare it to is the old Apple, it was called Ping Podcast.
Yeah, what was that?
The Apple Ping Podcast.
I don't know what that was.
And it was, well, it was exactly what they think this is, which is the hosting company would send a ping, a get request or some form. I don't know if it's a post or what format it took directly to Apple to let them know that a feed had changed and they would give back a response. Well, they killed the Ping Podcast service. And I think they replaced it with the Lookup API or something. Mm-hmm. They replaced it with some other API, but it doesn't work the same. So you can no longer notify Apple that a feed has changed and force them to respond and go poll it. But that used to be a thing you could do. The thing here again is it's just you pinging Apple. It doesn't
help the rest of the ecosystem. No.
Right.
Okay.
So PodPing 3.
That way. And then WebSub came, which is great because it solved the issue where we wanted to distribute the updates in a way that only the people that wanted to get notified would get it, and then they would redistribute those notifications.
Okay, so the WebSub, I've realized that I have not done a great job of outlining the issues with WebSub, and I'm going to try to finally do this in a coherent way. WebSub is, and I'm not sure what he means. He says the word redistribute here, and I don't really understand what he means in the context, because I don't think he's applying that term correctly to WebSub protocol. But I think I understand what he means. He just said it in an odd way. The problem number one with WebSub is that it's only for servers. You have to have a server online all the time waiting for the hub to send you a notification to tell you that a feed has updated. So the way this works is, a podcast feed is tied to, quote unquote, tied to a certain hub. And so within the feed, it has a tag in there, an Atom link tag, that specifies what the WebSub hub address, web address is for that, that handles that feed. And so when you aggregate that feed, when you read it and parse it out, you see the hub. And then you subscribe to the hub, giving it the URL of that feed and say, I want you to notify me anytime this thing changes.
Ah, okay.
The hub.
So it's more like a relay, really.
Yeah. So the hub then responds to you and says, with a challenge, and says, are you sure that you are the webhook? Are you the server that wants this notification? And it gives you a challenge code, and you have to respond to that challenge. It's like a three-way handshake.
Mm-hmm.
That is specifically to avoid, and even more specifically than spam, is to stop reflection DDoS attacks.
Right.
So that you could, you could sign up somebody, you start subscribing somebody else to a whole bunch of WebSub traffic that they didn't ask for. So that is the way the process works. So if you pass the subscription challenge, you get a 7 to 15 day subscription period. After that 7 to 15, you have to hold on to that. You have to remember what it tells you how long it's, you ask for it, and then it tells you in response, this is how many days the subscription is going to last. You have to track that state and be sure to resubscribe to that feed at that hub before it expires, or you'll stop getting pings. So then anytime a publisher of that feed notifies that hub that you're subscribed to that feed updated, then the hub will send a ping. The critical part of this is your hub receiver that you registered with the hub, your server has to be online to receive the pings when they come in, and
to hit the challenge, to
resubscribe.
Yeah,
you have to be constantly resubscribing.
Is there also a timeout on the ping side that if you don't ping for, let's say, 15 days, that then you get a new ID and a new, or does it always remain the same on that hub?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've never looked at the publisher side of it, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting question that I don't know the answer to.
I'm shocked.
Don't be shocked.
Oh, I'm boost myself.
Boost.
I'm gonna boost myself for that.
So that's problem number one.
Dave, you totally need some sound effects on that side, brother.
I know. You don't want to give me that power, believe me. So that's problem number one. That's the traffic. Look at all that traffic that has to go back and forth in order to set up a scenario where your server can be notified, but only if it's online and ready and waiting to receive it.
And you have to make sure you have entries that you go back and resubscribe on time.
Yes. And like I said before.
So we were doing all that, basically.
We have a server. We have one server that does nothing but resubscribe to WebSub all day long.
Mm.
Because every one of Anchor's feeds, of which we have 1.6 million in the index, is WebSub enabled.
Mm.
It's a nightmare. And so that yet he is correct when he says that WebSub is a great idea, and it does democratize some of the subscription stuff, but at scale, it completely falls down. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is more simple. It's just the fact that not everybody supports it. I mean, there's big hosts out there like Libsyn, Acast, Fireside. They don't support WebSub. And part of it, and I was talking to Dan today about this, is simply the fact that you have to run a hub. If you want to, you can run a hub and potentially send out, I don't know, 500 webhook calls every time somebody updates their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could leech off of the public Google server, which a lot of people do.
It misses a lot, though. It really misses a lot.
It's overloaded. Yeah. It's overloaded because it's free, you know. And then Superfeeder's not free. It's a paid service. So, you know, that's problem number two. Problem number three is the fact that it does not allow for anything other than just pure feed change notifications. It's limited in its scope. So if you ever wanted to put something else into WebSub, like some sort of other push notification, like we've been talking about with a live stream has started, other stuff like that, there's no facility. So that is the problem with WebSub that we're trying to solve. And you can go ahead and play Podping 4.
This Podping is just another version of the older style ping, and it doesn't have, at least from when I was looking at the documentation, a way of redistributing the updates like WebSub does. So it's a step backwards. Obviously, it helps that whole initiative with Podcast Index and helps build their business empire, but I don't know if it really helps all podcasters. It's just another layer in the onion.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Dave, I'm just going to open my check. My business empire.
It's got to be one of those big checks, because that's
the publisher's clearinghouse check. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Yeah, we don't write anything less than seven digits at this point. Okay, so that's clearly he's just misunderstanding. He's saying that Podping is like the old Apple Ping service, where everybody's just sending us their updates. All right, couple of things. Number one, the podping.cloud service, we're running it, but it doesn't touch our infrastructure at all. It shares absolutely no infrastructure with Podcast Index. It's all running on its own set of servers behind its own Cloudflare and all that stuff. It's independent. Number two, it's open source. The repo's out there. You can go run your own server today with that. You don't need us at all. It's completely independent of us. But the most important thing, though, is go ahead and play Podping 5.
And it's got buzzwords, like it's using blockchain and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, oof. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, I like the high road you're taking, Dave. You are a much better man than I am.
So The reason it's easy for me to take to not be irritated by this kind of thing is because I get it. When you've been in IT for the last 10 years, you've heard blockchain so many times that you just want to barf. I mean, seriously. Okay, so I'm in the finance. My day job is in financial services, and for at least 5 years, every conference you go to, it was there's going to be three different breakout sessions on blockchain technology and how it's the future, and we're all going to lose our jobs. So about 2 years ago, that all stopped, and nobody even mentions it anymore. And the reason is because blockchain, the old adage is blockchain was a solution looking for a problem.
Right.
Well, so I get it. I understand. When somebody tells an IT guy about blockchain, your eyes roll back in your head and you're just like, whatever. But there are some legitimate use cases for blockchain. Cryptocurrency, obviously, is one of them. Another one is lot tracking for things like, let's just say, pharmaceuticals or food delivery. You want to be able to track lots in a public ledger that everybody can participate in. There are a few, obviously, clearly limited, but there are a few legitimate use cases. This is one of those use cases. I do think wholeheartedly that we have found a legitimate use case for blockchain technology. And here's why it's legitimate. It's the host, any host of a podcast, any podcast publisher, sends a ping to a Podping server. The Podping server just accepts that URL and writes it to the Hive blockchain. The Hive blockchain is public. At that point, anybody can see it. You don't need a server to see it. All you need is a script running on your computer, any computer, a Raspberry Pi, your Windows workstation, a server in the cloud, your phone, a web browser, anything can watch the blockchain and see every URL that comes through and see which ones need to be polled, see which ones need to have changed. If you're running a server that it's critical that you need to know which ones have changed, like us, it's critical that we need to know when things change. We don't want to miss stuff. So if I reboot my web sub server, I may have missed 40 web sub pings in that amount of time, and I'll never know which ones they were. In this case,
yeah, you can just go back in the chain.
Yeah, I have our server set to look back 1 hour of blocks. So anytime I reboot the server, it starts 1 hour ago and replays all the updates since then and gets us caught up to right back to current. That is something that WebSub cannot do in any shape, form, or fashion. And the other thing is it's instant and global and free. Nobody has to pay. It's completely decentralized.
Well, no, that's not true.
It is permanent.
It's not true. Brian of London, I think, has paid $8 million in Hive coin or something. He has Hive power. It's like Power Hive Rangers. Power. Hive power!
So I told
him. I want to make sure that he's not taking money out of his pocket. That we should be able to give him some of the, I just don't want him to be paying for all this.
No, I bought some Hive. I now own Hive.
You're a Hiver.
I am.
I want some Hive.
I can't give you any because I powered it all up.
Dude, you're Hive powered. How much does a little Hive power cost?
I bought, the way I did it, it's so crazy. So the way you do it is I did it through a website called Block Trades. And the reason I'm laughing is because it's just like hilarious the amount of steps you go through. So I got onto Coinbase and bought one Litecoin, and then I got onto Block Trades and set up an account there.
To transfer your Litecoin
Block Trades sets up. You give Block Trade your Hive account name, and then it sets up a Litecoin receiver address. Then you get on Coinbase and send your Litecoin to to Block Trades. Nice. And then it converts it into Hive and deposits it in your Hive account. And bada boom, bada bing, you've got Hive.
You got a cocktail.
Yeah. And then, so wow. I'm on the phone with Brian and he says, oh yeah. And don't forget to power it up today. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? I like it. I mean, I really like the sound of this, but it's cool. You know, it's cool. He's like, he said, you get a badge if you power it up on the first day of the month.
Did you get your badge?
I don't know. I hadn't checked yet. I need to check.
Goodness. By the way, if anyone wants to see Podping in action, and I should show this to Dvorak, and I think he watches it hours a day. Podping. I'm not kidding. He's like, oh man, what are you guys doing? This is great. Podping.watch. And you can see this updating in real time. It's coming right off the blockchain. This was, who built this? Steve?
Stephen Crater.
Yeah, Stephen Crater. It loads the most recent 50 updates, and you sit there and just boom, 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 boom. They just come flowing in live in real time. It's beautiful. And this is, this is really all podcasts, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because you've jacked in whatever we have, or is it not?
No, I turned that off.
Oh, okay. So this is just Buzzsprout, RSS.com.
Mm-hmm. Transistor.
Transistor Captivate.
And Captivate and
Firehose coming.
Firehose, yeah. Firehose.fm. Yeah, Fireside he's doing it now.
And all it is truly from the perspective of a hosting company, it's just adding one extra API call to the process, right? It's not a huge thing.
It's one GET request every time your feed rebuilds or every time you publish a new episode. It's one call. And on a technical level, at 99% of the time it returns a 200. If there's ever anything that happens like a failure on the blockchain or a retrying thing, we take care of all that stuff. The software handles that internally. It just gives a 200 response to the host. Like the host never has to worry about any of that stuff.
The only thing I would say is any host that doesn't do this clearly just hates the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the greenest way to do podcast updates that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Mike, Lake Effect Snow, it's going to kill you up there in Traverse City. You got to get on board and climate change.
and we need the WordPress plugin to be able to do this.
Yeah. So that's part whatever I'm on, 25B or uh-huh. whatever. So that's part of that is we are just hosting this thing you got to bootstrap it. So like, our convert.
Was it Doug? Chad.
John
Chad,
the Baptist.
Chad.
Yeah, Chad Farrow. Mm-hmm. So Chad, you got to have some, Chad helped us bootstrap with some US, you know, some cash.
Yeah.
Some cold hard cash. And now he's converted to Satoshi. So in the same way, you got to bootstrap it somehow. And so we're bootstrapping with podping.cloud, but the ultimate goal here is for everybody to run their own stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody to run their own Hive Writer, which is the section of the podping.cloud code that writes to the Hive chain. I mean, like, in a year from now, you know, Buzzsprout or Blueberry or Transistor or whoever host, they can just run their own Hive Writer, write directly to the Hive chain with their own keys, and they don't need anything else.
But it sounds like the company that could benefit from this the most is Anchor.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. For sure.
And maybe they don't care. But no, it seems actually, like an easy one.
I'll take that back. I just took it back. Google is probably the company that could benefit from it the most because they run that humongous web sub hub, and they're the ones that could probably stand to benefit a lot from that. Because they need instant notification. I mean, they're the beneficiary of running all that web sub stuff themselves and being the infrastructure.
Is that web sub is open for everything, not just podcasts, right?
Yeah, and one of the reasons it's open for everything is because they want to. They want it. They want to see it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
They want that traffic, and so if they could do this essentially the same thing without having to run a web sub infrastructure, I mean, that's just nothing but a win for them.
I don't know anyone over. It's a black box, man. I don't know anybody at any Google position that would know anyone in that area.
It's still running on Larry Page's box of Legos.
It must be. But that was a very good explanation. I completely understood that. And I especially appreciated the explanation of WebSub and how inefficient it is for what we're doing. And the efficiency that the PodPin brings to the table it wouldn't have been possible when we first started out. And it's really only possible. It's really because of Brian of London. I mean, no one has been more persistent at getting a technology in. Makes sense.
I'm just looking at my thing. I don't see a badge on here. I don't get a power up badge.
Oh man.
I feel gypped.
I'm sorry. I'm very disappointed. Power up.
I would send you some Hive, but it's all
no, that's okay.
It's now locked up in Hive power. It's been powered up.
I'm trying to cut back on Hive this week. Okay. Consuming too much. while we're on kind of the hosting side, Buzzsprout saw a post on podcastindex.social that they're going to allow people to enter the value tag, value block?
Any tag.
So they're going full freeform.
Yeah, all you have to do is send their support an email and tell them you want to put some custom tags into your feed, and they will help you insert those into your feed. So you can put any of the experimental tags in there. Cool. So if you wanted to put in, you know, I don't know, just
now is it like one free form or is it, do you get a, I have an account, I have to go look at it. Or do you get to enter a value block at a time? Cause of course, if you're doing multiple value blocks in a free form box, a lot of room for error there.
Do you have signal on your machine?
I do.
Did you run? Okay, let's see. Let me see if I can send it to you. This is the test feed that we have over there. And you can see that Tom put the value block in for us. It's in our Buzzsprout feed.
Oh, and I got a view source because it brought up a beautiful... Mm-hmm. Ah, there it is.
Yeah.
Playing in the sandbox. Nice. Yeah, so
if you look at that feed on... if you look at that podcast on the index... Picked it right up. It's got the value block in it. Good cool. to go. Yeah. So this is a way people could put their value block in and not have to, you know, shim it or anything like that. If they had like a complex block that they wanted to do, they could just contact their support, stick it in, and ready to rock.
Very nice. Now, so there's two different recipients here.
Oh, I don't even know what's in this.
Yeah, split. Okay, I see LMPay gets 2%, and then whatever playing in the sandbox, whatever that LMPay is. So how does Podcast Index, how do we get our 1% if it's not in the block? We don't get it?
Well, we only get it if people use our API.
Right, okay, so then the API spits that out?
Yeah, if you looked at that same feed in the API, you would see the 1% in there.
I love that. So smart.
Yeah.
But I encourage anyone to put my note in there just for yucks.
Just for giggles.
That's going to become a thing, man. Like copy and paste my note into your value block. Why not?
Do you remember the old share your OPML service?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a share your value block service.
Yeah, it could be an entire, oh gosh, it's a lot of things. My mind is just, all of a sudden you said that. It's like, wow, a lot of different things you could do there. But this is great. Yeah. So for people to make splits, which of course it'll have to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. It's a step. Well, congratulations on the thank you. Tom and everybody there, Buzzsprout. That's great. I really hope we can get it more baked in as time progresses, so it's even easier for people, especially editing splits, etc.
They're legitimately nervous about people just completely hosing their feed. You know, which makes sense because, I mean, you get somebody in there mucking around that doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, you can just completely break everything. As opposed to Lipson. I mean, I really admire the balls that Lipson has to just be like, here's a box in the UI. Go for it.
But have you seen any value blocks come through a Lipson feed?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have or not. I can look at the database right now. It would be interesting to go through and see what stuff people have put in that box, if anything. It may just be crazy stuff that's not even a tag or something.
Well, it's par for the course, man. We have so many interesting people around. How's Martin doing? Is he like, I think his girlfriend took him back, took him away from us.
He put a ring on it and it was all over.
Yeah, that's exactly. Pod friend. That's right. Well, a pod friend is running as your friend. But Martin, nah, I think
he's gone.
Yeah, the old ball and chain pulled him down under.
There's that when you're dating, you're gold. When you get married, you're fine.
Yeah.
But the in between time, it gets rough.
Yeah.
It gets dicey in there, Martin.
You got to have a date.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can't be too long. Can't be doing any of that.
Mm-hmm. You get a lot of wedding planning. Oh.
Damn, man.
Remember those days.
I still love Pod Friend. I do. It's Tina's. She's the maven, man. She loves her Pod Friend. Yep. Says, it's my go-to. It's everything. She even stopped listening to the Pool Man on video on YouTube. Said, nah, I like this app much better.
No.
Although, it would be nice to have some video, and I'm going to broach another topic.
Please do.
Thanks to Alex Gates for a great, great article he wrote, Podcasting 2.0, More Than Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that was such a good read.
Very detailed in the show notes, of course. And just to let you know what is kind
he's
of...
He's a good writer, isn't he?
He is. I mean, it was as long as a Glenn Greenwald article, but I read this all the way through and enjoyed it and didn't want to kill myself at the end.
So, yes. And he didn't publish a video of him saying the exact same thing that was in his article for 15 minutes.
Very funny. So where we're at now, Mark Hall is, he wants to be the liaison with documentaries. He's starting to get people excited about this. He's out talking to people and everyone is very interested. Of course, they would like to see it. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of waiting for the alternate enclosure for different bit rates to be put in, I believe. Not entirely sure where we are with that. But I know the content's been uploaded and it technically should be good to go with once we do a value block. But maybe Alex can let me know where we're at. Or I think we're somewhere in limbo and people are waiting for each other maybe. But I think the alternate enclosure tag was important. Now, David Knight also wants to do video, and he...
Who's that?
David Knight is the guy who left InfoWars after a large disagreement.
Oh, well, that's perfect for Podcasting 2.0.
Exactly. But now he's been kicked off Vimeo. I mean, YouTube was already a non-starter, and then... I mean, if you're getting kicked off Vimeo, holy crap. And the guy's not controversial. He's outspoken, but he's, and in fact, he's gone against Alex Jones in many cases.
Well, that's not Podcasting 2.0 then.
Yes, it is. Anyway, he desperately wants to get this going. And, so I'd love to be able to somehow come up with a way we can help these people that doesn't, need all kinds of hand-holding and attention, especially from Alex, because he seems to be the one that has to do most of the work on getting the feed up and running.
And well, I'm looking at No Agenda Tube, and I see Killing Ed on here.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. But you can't get Killing Ed in an RSS feed yet.
I think everyone has an RSS feed by default.
Oh, then it's not in the index.
We can fix that right now. Share maybe. Where do I get a feed?
I have no idea.
Give me a feed. Give me a feed, Alex. QR code, that doesn't help me. Yeah. Embed, no, that doesn't help me either. Where's the feed? Oh, I can view source. It's like it's $19.99.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Just a little filler.
I cannot find an RSS feed.
I don't think it's there yet.
That's weird. Well, oh, wait. I'm going to backdoor this thing. I'm going to look for animated no agenda.
Oh, so I see.
Apologize for my clicky
keyboard. It's not quite as exciting as your possum goo story, listening to you find an RSS feed on a, on a page.
Okay. Video. Okay, I see the format. I can fix this. I think I can fix it.
All right.
Yeah, Alex is screaming right now. It's at the bottom on the right.
Anyway, while you're doing that, there's one other person who has announced themselves, actually through her assistant, Whitney Webb, is looking deep into podcasting 2.0, value for value. She totally wants to be prepared for whatever deplatforming could come her way. She's doing some incredible investigative journalism. Like, really, really. I mean, even Dr. Peter McCullough, right now the hero of, the medical community at large, who is saying, hold on a second, we have to treat people differently and we may be making some mistakes and let's pay it. At least he's speaking freely. He says Whitney Webb is onto some interesting stuff. Hmm. And that guy, I mean, he has an infallible reputation. I mean, he runs multiple science medical journals. I mean, he's a big wheel.
I got her feed fixed the other day, but I haven't seen them put a value block in yet. Do you know if they're going to use their own node or anything?
That's what I'm waiting to hear. But also, she also does video or wants to do video either way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's so good to see the video stuff come out.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Yeah,
because
I want the alternate enclosure thing is going to be great because you can flip back and forth between video and audio.
Ooh, even better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, why don't we...
Now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Go ahead and boost us.
Boost.
You know we deserve it.
That was a tight mix.
Hey, when I boost tight, baby.
Okay. By the way, just Google CurioCaster. Just that word, all one word.
Okay.
And it's see what the, I don't know if yours shows the same thing that mine does.
Hold on a second. I wasn't on Google, of course. Why would I use Google as a search engine? You know I don't, but I will here for this case. Was right at the top. Noodle guns firing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder how that. And interesting, Pod Friend is right under it. Damn, that's not bad.
Isn't that weird?
That whole page, we own that whole page until the last result, which is something from
the last result. Now, this is weird. I don't know if your last result is the same as mine, but my last result is Jennifer Buchanan on Twitter.
No, I didn't get that. No, I got episode 36, Crawling Our Life Away.
Interesting. Creepy as crap.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Well, they've changed it again, I hear, so.
All right. Well, I've got for phase three, I've got officially formalized and in the XML tag document, I've got trailers put up. So that one's good to go. People can start using it. I'm working right now, just going through the list. The next one will be license. And then alternate enclosure. I'm just writing them up. I'm, you know, just taking the description that we used for developing it and then writing it into the formal document to the spec.
Hey, how about the value for the value block? I mean, how do we handle that? Are we still waiting for Sphinx to fix their whatever it is with the TLV records or release their new app? Or I'm just a little unclear.
You mean to put it in the namespace?
Yeah.
I don't really know what to do with that because it's still really experimental. And I'm not sure if, I mean, clearly it's working, mm-hmm. but then we, you know, we hear that, well, maybe they're going to change deprecate key send and mm-hmm. go to amp. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, does that mean we're going to have to change the tag? I don't know. So I've been kind of holding off.
But how about, I'd love for the, at least get an understanding of the TOV record. Cause I see, PodStation integrating it. Was it Guilherme who was integrating? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, PodStation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was putting TOV records in. It just feels like we're missing such an opportunity to, I mean, the loop is okay. We haven't quite closed the loop yet. And that loop is actually very simple. I just want a timeline where I can see the podcast. Maybe it's just the player. And then I can see the boost and the streaming activity. And that can be done, I believe, when we have these TLV records flowing from everybody, or we kind of drop that standard. Breeze gave it a good head start. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of what they're doing can be decoded. It's just such a shame because you're not quite getting that feedback loop. Getting the sats is great, but there's so much more we can do with it. And it just feels like we're a little stuck. And again,
how would you do that on your side? So let's just say that all those TLVs were there. Would you go into something like Balance of Satoshis or some command like that and pull that to be able to see it?
Yeah, have you seen satoshis.stream? They can get reports by chapter, all kinds of stuff.
But how do you do it if you're on a full node is what I'm asking?
Well, they're on a full node. I mean, someone needs to develop the analytics.
So they wrote that code themselves.
Yeah. If you go into the voltage node and you click the mm-hmm. podcast tab mm-hmm. but you open the console, you'll see that it's actually downloading, I think, 100,000 invoices, or maybe 50,000. I forget what the number is. And of course, it's all relatively small amounts of data, but that's each invoice comes in and you can drill down, and in there is each record that has some information sent along with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a completely external program. I just export the data. Or as they're doing it, it's literally that stat is being built in a browser.
Hmm.
So they have, they have the payment information, kind of that sine wave graph, I guess. Hmm. You can see how much you got on each day and the hours in between, but you don't know what episode it was for or what podcast, if you have multiple. Or what timestamp in the actual show. That would be nice to see.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. We need to, it'll be really good to be at this Bitcoin conference because we can sit down with Paul and those guys and just bang that out.
I'm just going to heckle everybody. Ryan Gentry, I'm great. Hey, Lightning Labs boy, hey.
Right in the middle of a keynote.
How come the fees are so high, man? We're doing micropayments over here, boy. What's wrong with you? We need TLV records. Hey, Itoy.
Well, there's three of us. I can wear a t-shirt.
Code Pink. We can look Code Pink code interrupting pink. Congress.
Get escorted out by the guards.
Podcasting 2.0, Podcasting 2.0, TLV records, Podcasting 2.0, go flash that thing.
Mic check.
Tina thinks I've lost my mind up here.
They're going to regret us being at this conference.
Yeah, lost my mind.
It's like, anyway, it's just us 25-year-olds with our Lambos, and now these old dudes come in.
No one has Lambos. That's old, man. No one does Lambos anymore. That's not cool. Now you got to be disheveled. Yeah.
Neckbeard.
No. Just Lambos are out. The one guy I'm very interested, though, Justin. This is the N2N2 guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's speaking, or he's on a panel. And
but I don't understand. I thought their app's not out. I don't have an app yet. Right?
I know. That's why I'm very interested. He has a demo and he wants to show it to us.
Okay.
And from what I understand, he a forked Sphinx with and it at least has a different interface. I have no idea if he has the back end running.
Okay.
Which seems like a lot. But he has money. So I know he's totally a Hollywood kind of guy. He comes from Hollywood, and he's trying to fit in.
Well, they're
not succeeding very well.
They're using the API, right?
I have no idea. I'm pretty sure. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know they are because they had trouble at first. Their developer and I helped him because they had a timing issue. I think on
you know
API
what I need
calls.
To do. I just hit me. I need to hook up Gene with these guys. He should be consulting them.
Oh.
How about that?
That's a good idea.
I mean, they deserve each other. No, seriously. Gene, I don't know if he's got some work now, so I don't know if he can have more clients, but Gene would be able to help him with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, and they'd have him on the show, too.
Yeah, Gene could do the end-to-end. And Gene could hang out with hot influencers.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
idea. Match made in heaven. Boy, are we good here?
Gene on TikTok.
TikTok. Oh, boy.
Into, because they've got their apps on the new podcast apps page.
But it doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing, nothing's empty. I know.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, they're doing something, so that's cool.
It's easy to... it's easy to discredit someone, and I don't want to discredit anybody. Anyone who shows up for anything, as long as we're playing by some generally agreed rules, which has never been an issue, is like, come on in.
No, I love it. That's what, because Steven Crater was reviewing. He's so helpful because he jumps in and reviews pull requests. He's just like, he's just all over the place, man. Thank you, Steven. You're like, it's just awesome.
Hold on.
Boost
for Steven.
Yeah, I wish. I need to give him another. I typically do a round of sat spews. I spew sats at people that need it, and I need to give another round of sats.
Yeah, he has a node. He has a node.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you key send him, or what do you do?
I just key send people by hand just to give, because I didn't have a way until now to do the tip jar.
Right.
So now I can do a tip jar.
I love the tip jar.
Me too.
And in CurioCaster, you can set it per podcast, I believe. You can set the amounts per podcast.
Let me go into my CurioCaster.
I think so.
But I put Killing Ed, and it's in the index now.
Right.
The No Agenda Tube thing.
Right.
So we should be able to see that in a video podcast app.
Oh, okay. This is exciting. Curio. I'm glad everyone's doing this on this audio podcast. Mm-hmm. Right. What's it called? Just Killing Ed?
Indexer. The indexer hasn't got it yet. It'll be up there in a few minutes. But it's the feed's in there. The indexer just hasn't picked it up in the search yet.
Because was a pod ping it not performed? What the hell?
No, that's it's too complicated. You wouldn't understand.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm still big mode. No, the feed. I thought you could search by feed.
In podcast index? I don't think. No, I don't think so.
No, you can. If you put a feed URL in the search box.
Oh, really?
It'll pull, work? Yeah, it'll bring back the feed. Yeah.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Killing Ed. The Law Lady. That's not it.
All right. I'm gonna have to stop you before people fall asleep. This is how we normally talk on the phone. We'll just be like quiet, like, let me take a look. Mumble, like little word. What? Okay.
Oh, wait. I found it.
Okay.
It's called Documentaries 2.0 for some reason.
Oh, yeah. That was decided upon.
But it doesn't show up on the thing.
Well, it shows up here in CurioCaster.
Bingo. There it is. One episode.
But wait, I'm not getting any eps.
One episode, hour and 36 minutes.
Well, I'll subscribe. Let's see if it shows up.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, with a cool little film camera there. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Dynamite. What?
Oh, it's getting the Documentaries 2.0 is the title of...
of the feed.
Yeah, but so it says Documentaries 2.0 by Visual Truth Projects, but then the title of the video is Killing Ed.
Yeah, that's the first one. I'm not getting any episodes in CurioCaster. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's just sitting there. Yeah.
Okay. We should rename this podcast to Searching Crap on Google.
No, we're not searching crap on Google. We're searching crap on the index. All right, what else you got, Dave? We can wrap this up. I think, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be us dudes hanging out.
It's only been like 8 years since I've seen you.
Has it really been that long? Gosh.
Maybe not that long.
Six or seven, I think, probably.
Yeah, it was like 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been a while.
Damn. Yeah. I hope I recognize you.
Yeah. Me too. Oh, do we want to thank at least one person?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. We've been talking so much this podcast, but also the value for value nature. I think it's pretty late in this actual episode to explain what that is. You've probably figured it out by now. But we appreciate it when any kind of value can be given for the value you get from it. Sometimes you're just a listener and you appreciate the new apps and the stuff that's being done, and you want to support this movement, really. And you can do that by going to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom, hit the big red donate button, and we will take your cuck bucks through PayPal. But you can also consider using PodFriend, Breeze, CurioCaster, Sphinx Chat, or the PodStation browser extension to send us Satoshis in real time and boost us as often as you want.
I figured it's a short week since we're doing this on Wednesday, but I figured I would at least read Kyle Hebert's note. He gave us $100.
Wow.
And
That's very nice.
And Kyle says, I love podcasting 2.0 as a podcast and a project. Here's $100 in support. And he gives a shirt size. And he says the Intergalactic Boombox podcast. Oh, that's who that is.
Huh.
Okay. I've seen him on Twitter. He's been giving us some Twitter juice. Cool. Thank you, Kyle. Let me see if I can print this. I don't have I don't have it printed out, so I can't crumple it.
That's all right. We'll just pretend.
Yeah.
I don't have any paper to crumple. Well, man. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I got it. Here we go.
And that's it?
That's it.
Well,
that's it. We just do Kyle. He's a solo now.
we are early in the week, but of course, we'll do another episode next Friday. Hope you all understand. Very excited to go wave the banner and wear our t-shirts and look ultra cool as everyone whispers, oh my God, that's Dave Jones from Podcast Index. It's the Podcast Index boys. You watch Dave Jones. You watch. You have no idea. Be like, holy crap. No, it's true. Have you seen? Okay. You'll see. Members of the board, all of you here in the board meeting, I will take pictures. There will be documentary evidence of the stardom.
Stardom.
Of Dave Jones. Yeah, right. I'm not kidding. I know you watch. You watch.
There's that guy that wrote the shitty PHP app that nobody used for 10 years.
All right, Dave.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he's here.
I'll see. Well, I hope you guys will have beers by the time I get in.
No, I'm sure we will.
Okay.
We'll be waiting on you.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, Dave.
All right, man.
And we will be back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boost.
Go podcasting!